doesn't mean it's what is best for you or for me to live for God. 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and 15 to 20. We're going to get in this idea of don't pollute. For two, saith he, shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. What? Knowing not that your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own. For ye bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Heavenly Father, we ask as we look at your scriptures this morning, that you would illuminate them to us. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to see the principles and the truths you want us to glean this morning so we can live a life that is pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. You may be seated. As we look at the idea of don't pollute, I first want to see the seriousness of it. The seriousness of what he's addressing. I think sometimes we look at certain topic and say, well, that doesn't include me. It's not my, I'm not dealing with this. I don't have this problem. Now, we're going to look at the seriousness of it, and we're going to look at what the main interpretation of this portion of Scripture is. But let me tell you, you might not be involved in the sexual sins that they're talking about, but there's some impurities in our lives that we face, that we do, that this can be applied to as well. So I want us to look at this. Look at verse 15, and let's explain these verses, and let's see the truth God wants for us as we look at the seriousness of it. It says, knowing not that your bodies are the members of Christ. It's this Isaac language, don't you know, from Minnesota there. Don't you know? Don't you know? Don't you understand something? I think sometimes we get so used to certain things in our world and what is happening. You see, the church of Corinth was used to the sins of the sexual sins that were taking place in their city, that it was coming into the church, and when it was coming in the church, it didn't even make them blush, if you will. It didn't even bother them to see it. And Paul's reminding them, don't you know something? I want you to understand a simple principle, Paul's saying. I want you to understand a principle you should have known since you're a little kid. I want you to know this principle that will help you in your life. Don't you know this simple truth? It's almost a sarcastic tone, if you will, of saying, wake up, church. You should know this already. How many of you have ever done that with your kids before? You use a tone, use a way of saying, you already know this. I've already told you this. You've already been taught on this. You've already seen this. Now, out of love, he's doing this. But he's saying, you should already know this. You should know this concept. Do you know what's interesting in Scripture? There's a lot of things that are repeated over and over again from different ways to get us to understand it. And sometimes we need to be hit from different angles here. And so now he's coming from this angle. Don't you know? And what does he want them to be reminded of? He wants them reminded of a truth that will help us in our Christian life. It says this. Knowing not that your bodies are the members of Christ. The believer's body. Now this is addressing the body, and we're going to see why the sexual sins play such a role as we get into this. Why it affects so much, and why it's something to address so much. But he says, don't you know that your body is a member of Christ's body? Don't you know that when you got saved, you've been grafted in to the family of God, and you're a believer, and you're part of him, and he's a part of you. Don't you know this simple truth that you're a member of Christ? You are his. What a simple truth, but what a truth we struggle with. What a truth that the church of Corinth was struggling with. That you are not just a member of Lakeshore Drive Baptist Church, but you're a member of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have to understand this morning, and when we do the impurities in our lives, it's not just affecting my testimony as James Bliss, it's not just affecting the testimony of Lakeshore Drive Baptist Church, but it's affecting the testimony of my God who I belong to. I'm a member of Lake Shore Drive at church, great. I am a member of my family, great. But greater than that is I am a member of Christ because of what he's done for me. Now, the seriousness is this. Since you're a member of Christ, church, Since you're part of Christ Jesus, look at this next thought here as he addresses Sirius. Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? You know what he's saying? Some of you are involved in sexual impurities. You're going to the temple, and in the temple, they have the temple prostitutes. And you're going there, and you're partaking of this sin. And how can a member of Christ take a member of the harlots? How can you mix the two? How can you put the two together? Don't you know that you're a member of Christ and then take the members of Christ and make them members of a harlot? He says, God forbid, you can't do that. You can't take that which is pure and mix it with impurity. Well, preacher, it was acceptable in the day of Corinth for those who were religious to go to the temple to partake in the activities that was happening. You know what Paul said? Paul says it may be okay according to Corinth, but that's not what God wants for the believer. That's not what God wants for the children of his. I want to tell you this morning, our world has taken this sexual things of this world, and they've making it impure. It has been polluted. It has become dirty. It's become certain things. Let me tell you, God had true sexual activity and sexual things are a pure thing if it's done God's way. But our world is taking it and making it something dirty and terrible. And what has happened is what the world says is acceptable is not God's way of doing it. I tell you, God has never intended for anybody to be involved in physical activity outside of marriage. And he gets into this even in the next chapter, chapter 7. He says it's not even good for a man to touch a woman. And I tell you, we're going to get into that next time. And I tell you, some of you are going to be blown away because you're not going to agree with what I'm going to say. But based on Scripture, it is very clear what that's talking about. And we have taken, and the reason we don't look at that, and the reason we struggle with that, is because we have allowed what the world says is acceptable to come into our Christian circles, into our churches, and say that's acceptable, it's okay. No, it's not okay. God forbid. You can't take a member of Christ and mix it with a member of the harlot. You can't take that which is pure and mix it with impurity. There's a problem going on here. Sexual activities and impurities were running rampant, and it was coming in the church. And they were making excuses. They were justifying it. They were saying it's okay to do. It's okay to be a part of. And Paul says, you can't do this. You got to stop, church. Oh, I know it's meeting your self-gratification. I know it's making you feel okay. I know emotionally you say it's acceptable. I know it gives you a feeling that you enjoy and want to be a part of. But that's not what God wants. I tell you, too many times we as believers will base things upon our flesh and upon our emotions, and then we justify and say, just because it makes me feel good, it's acceptable. But that's not what Scripture says. Paul says, God forbid, don't be involved in this. You see, the believer's body is a member of Christ. How can you join, be joined to Christ and join to sin at the same time? That word join means cleave. It means cleave. So how can you cleave to this and cleave to that? How can you be attached to Christ, yet be attached to something that goes contrary to the Word of God? Believer, let's make some application this morning. Because I know someone say, well, I'm not involved in impurity. I'm not going to the temple for the temple prostitutes. I'm not doing those things. But let me tell you, there's some things in our lives that we're cleaving to that are just as impure as those things mentioned here. There's some things that we are cleaving to that is keeping us as a member of God. I ought not to cleave to. There's some things in my life. There's some programs that you watch. There's some places that you go. There's some things that you do in your life that you're cleaving to, that you're attached to, that a member of Christ ought not to be cleaving to, ought not to be attached to. We are living in a world today where what is happening in our Christian circles is appalling, because we have taken these things as a member of Christ and we have Christianized it. We have made it acceptable. We have said it's okay to be involved in. We've said, all right, well, you know what? We didn't used to do those things, but that was old-fashioned days. Well, let me tell you, my Bible's still the same. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Holiness is still holiness. Pure, being pure is still pure. It has not changed. And we have to understand this morning that as a member of Christ, I must cleave to Him, join to Him. I can't be joined to Him and joined to sin. But look a little further here. What, know ye not that he which is joined to an harlot is one body? For two saith, he shall be one flesh. You know, Paul says part of the Lord's body, you know, this is talking about the creation account. It's talking about marriage. It's talking about this oneness. It's talking about becoming one flesh. This is the whole idea there. And he says, this sin, what you're involved in, is bad for the world, but it's even worse for the believer. You see, it's not okay for the world to be involved in that sin. The world shouldn't do it. But it's even worse for a believer, because you become one body with Christ, and now you're going to try to become one body with the harlot. And because the Bible says in Genesis account, we put together, you become one flesh. That's what it's talking about. You become one together. He says, wait a second. God forbid you can't do this. Wait a second. This is what is happening. You and what you're mixing and what you're putting together. But yes, for the unsaved, it's not good. But for the believer, what in the world are you doing? What in the world are we doing today, church? I just want to get real this morning. I believe a lot of our churches are impure this morning. It's one thing for the world to do sin. Get this. It's one thing for the world to do sin. But I'm supposed to be one body with Christ. If I'm joined to Him, I become one flesh. That's where the focus is. But how can I become one flesh with Christ and become one flesh with the harlot? I can't do it. But what is happening in our churches today, let's get real, is this. We are trying to mix the two. And as believers, we are doing the same sins that the world's doing in our churches today when we become impure. There's a problem there. And we have come to the place that where we accept it in our churches. We even say it's okay. But it's not the best for us. Do you wonder why we don't see growth in our churches? Do you want to know why we don't see people getting saved like we used to? You know why? Because we're not one with Christ as we should. And we have impurities in our churches today. And God's not going to add to the church as He adds to the church as He sees fit. And God's not adding to the church because of the impurities in the church. God's not adding to the church because He sees sin in the church and people aren't dealing with their sin. And we have come to a place that we have mixed the two and we put that together. And the relationship with the harlot is totally different than the relationship of a believer with Christ. The believer's relationship with Christ is characterized by permanence, love, trust, edification, obedience, and purity. The harlot is without love, devoid of responsibility, mutual destruction, shamefulness. And we pollute ourselves when we allow the love for the harlot or the love for the world into our lives. Love not the world, neither the things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. We are not to love this world. We're not to try to mix those two. We're to be understand we're one body in Christ and understand we're to be separated. Don't pollute your body. Immorality creates a mess that can't truly ever be cleaned up. Oh, God can forgive, but the consequences or effects stay with you the rest of your life. It is understanding this act of the seriousness of it. But I also want you to see the command against it and what you're to do. Look at verse 18. We see the seriousness of it. But I want you to see what verse 18 tells us. It says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. He says there is something serious about when you commit a sin of the body. If you would research this out and you study this out, yes, other sins are just as wicked. But the sins of the body affects you differently than any other sin affects. And he says, you need to do certain things because of what this sin can do in your life. Do you know impure sins? Get this. Especially our young people. I want you to get this. The impure things that we put in our minds, it affects your mind the rest of your life. I want to tell you, there are some images, there are some things that young people have put before their minds that they need to flee from because that has engrafted in their minds. And when they're 60, 70, 80 years old, those same filthy things are still the impurities that pop up in their mind. See, when we sin against the body, it affects us differently. And it's something that ingrains upon us, and it's there. This whole thing with pornography that is running rampant in our world today. And some of the reasons it is because it's more available to everyone that goes around today. But you know what the greatest part of that sin is? It is a sin against the body that affects your mind and it affects you. And that's going to take you away from truly loving someone someday that God has for you the way you should because you filled your mind with that filth. It's impure things. When we sin against the body and we're involved in physical activities with someone else that's not our spouse, that has created impurity in us. Get this. I know our young people think it's cool today to live with someone. I think people think it's cool to be able to kiss somebody and hold someone's hand and get involved in activities and things. But let me tell you, what you're doing is you're putting impure thoughts in your mind because God has created that type of touch between you and your spouse, not between you and anyone else. And that's the picture God gives, even with us, with Christ. And this idea of this sins of the body affecting us, it affects us greatly because we've caused those sins and we've done those things in our lives. And I know our young people today is a thing where we laugh about it. We think it's funny. Oh, that really doesn't matter. Yes, it does. Because if you're truly saved, if you're truly a child of God, and you truly want to please God with your life, You don't want any impure things to get in your way of serving God. Impurity is running rampant today. It's a sin against the body. I came across some statistics this last week. I know statistics are all over the place a lot of times. But do you know somewhere around out of every 4 to 10 believers that were interviewed, they said that 4 out of 10 had been involved in some type of sexual activity apart from their spouse. And they claimed to be Christians who were interviewed. You see, we wonder why our marriages are struggling, because there's impurities. We wonder why our homes are struggling, because there's impurities. We wonder why the church is struggling, because there's impurities. Because the sin of the body affects us differently, and it will get a hold on us, and it will destroy us. But look at this command given here, the forceful command given in verse 18. Flee fornication. Run from it. It's a continued action. Keep on running till you get away from the harm. Don't stop till you're far from it. There's two illustrations in Scripture I want to give you of this. One, there's a man named David. David came out, and David was supposed to be at a certain place. We know that. David was not where he needed to be. Now get this. I want you to get this. David was not where he was supposed to be. And because David was not where he was supposed to be, temptation came his way. And when temptation came his way, because David had impurities, David had struggles, David had problems. Now, David was a man after God's own heart. I know that. But I want you to tell you, you can be a man after God's own heart and still give in to sin. And you can still give in to impurity. And David was not where he ought to be. And David was not where he ought to be. And David saw what he ought not to see. And when David was where he ought to be, and he saw what he shouldn't see, he did what he shouldn't do. He was where he wasn't supposed to be. He saw what he shouldn't saw, and he did what he shouldn't do. And that, he gave right into the sin. And then he even committed another sin. Had her husband killed. Wait a second. You see, how should we react? There's another event. A man named Joseph. Joseph was where he was supposed to be. Joseph was in Potiphar's house because God placed him in Potiphar's house. Joseph had temptation to become impure, but what did Joseph do? He didn't even give a minute. He didn't even give a second. He jetted out of there as quick as he could. And he kept on running continually till he was out of harm's way. Oh, yeah. He was thrown in prison for it. Yeah, he went through a lot. We've just been reading what took place and happened. Let me tell you. That's what we ought to do. That word flee means you keep on running to continue action. It's an imperative mood. It means keep on going, keep on moving, keep going. Don't stop. I want to tell you, church, what Paul was telling the church of Corinth is this. Don't stick around and get involved in this immorality that's running rampant. Flee from the fornication. Flee from the sexual impurities. Flee from those things that are going to pollute you. Don't be a part of those. Church, we need to flee. Do you know what we've done? We've given place to the devil. Resist the devil. Don't stick around and give the devil a little space in your life. Don't even try to be tempted by it a little bit. Don't try to allow a little bit in. Don't Don't try to even say, well, I can watch this program and it's not going to affect me when I see these individuals that shouldn't be together, involved in activities that shouldn't be. Oh, preacher, it's just entertainment. It's okay to watch a little of this nudity on this television program. It's okay to hear some of the words and languages that's involved. It's okay to see someone have an affair. It's okay to see some of this. And no, it's not. Flee from it. Run from it. Don't give an ounce to it. Don't have any part of it. Flee from fornication. And I tell you, that's what we need to do. And that was the forcefulness, this, the wording, the way it was done, was written with forcefulness because it was important. We have mocked sin in our world today. And I'm not talking the world. I'm talking believers. That's why our young people think it's okay. That's why our young people think it's acceptable. No, Scripture says flee from it. It's not acceptable. We got another point here, but I'm going to hit something. If everyone could just give me your attention, I want you to hear what I'm going to say. I know there are sometimes certain ways and certain things that some people are a little more strict on than others, and I understand that. But let's understand this. If we err on the side of caution, if we err on the side of strictness, what is that going to hinder you? What's that going to hinder me? I'm going to give a case in point. I can truthfully say the first person I ever held my hand is my wife. I can truthfully say the first person I ever kissed was my wife, besides family. I can truly say those things. Now, I know some people say, well, it's okay to hold hands. It's okay to kiss somebody. It's okay to do this. But let me tell you. Why give any place to the devil to get you into a place that brings you to where you're not to be? We're to flee fornication. We're not to have any part of that. Now, we can disagree and agree on that. But I'm saying this thought is what we do is we give a little bit. And we give a little bit to it. We need to flee from it. Why even tempt ourselves? Why even put those thoughts in our minds? Why even do that? Flee means get yourself far from it so you're not even thinking those impure thoughts. Because you know you could commit adultery in your mind? Do you know you can create, you can be involved in sexual impurity without ever doing the physical part of it in your mind? Do you know there's impure thoughts that have gotten in your mind that has caused impurity? You're to flee from those things. I understand people have different views of how to dress. But let me tell you, we are not to dress in a way. Now, I understand it's the other person's fault as well because of their impure thoughts and stuff, but I am not to dress in a way that would cause someone to stumble. I am not to act in a way that would cause someone to stumble, and I'm not to be around those type of things. I'm not to put myself around. If I see someone dressed immodestly, what am I supposed to do? Flee from it. Don't even get around it. Don't even tempt myself. Don't put myself in their way. Flee fornication. Flee it. Now, this all leads us to our last point here. I want you to see this. The seriousness of it is serious. We're to flee from it. This is the forceful command. But I want you to see the motivation behind avoiding it. So we see the seriousness of it. We see the command of it. We see the motivation of it. What is the motivation? Look with me in verse 19 and verse 20 of our text here. Here we go again with what? Knowing not that your body, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you are not your own. For you bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Your body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. That temple is talking about the place called the Holy of Holies. This is talking about the purest place in the temple. And it says, don't you know that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know that your body is to be pure? Don't you know that your body is to be clean? Don't you know those things? As a member of Christ, as to be one body with Him, as His idea to flee the fornication, I must keep in mind what my body is. It's a temple of the Holy Ghost. You see, there was a time in my life as a young child, I received the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. And when I received the Lord Jesus Christ as a Savior, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit came and dwelled within me. And as the Holy Spirit comes and dwells within me, my body is now His dwelling place. Or His temple. This is the place of the holiest of holies. The temple was to keep pure. Who could go in the holies of holies? Just one, the priest. What happened if the priest had any sin in his life? He would die. They tied a rope around his foot. He would go in there, and if he dropped dead, they pulled him out. Why? Because that was a pure place. That's where the presence of God was. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. This is a pure place. That's the presence of God. And it had to stay pure. Your motivation to flee fornication, your motivation to understand that your body is Christ, is to understand that you are His temple and you're to keep it pure. To keep it pure. Principle we got to get is this. This body's God's. This body is not mine. Now I know some have different views again. But that's why I think we need to be very careful how we mark this body, how we treat this body, how we feed this body. How we do anything to this body. Why? Because this is God's temple. That's why I think we need to be very careful what we put in it. I think that's very careful what we do in sexual sins. I think that's why we're very careful what we do of any activity. Because this is not mine. This is God's temple. And I need to keep it pure. Be holy, for I am holy. And I tell you, we got to get back to that holiness in our lives where you and I are living holy lives set apart unto God. We're not to be transformed, we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We need to be different from this world, and I need to be a holy vessel for God because it's His temple. It's His. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost? Don't you know He indwells in you? If I got a hold of that, do you know the next time I'm tempted to put impure thoughts in my mind? You know what I should say? I can't do that. I got to flee it. Why? This is God's temple. And because it's God's temple, I got to keep it pure. The next time that you think you're going to get involved in something you shouldn't do, some physical activity you shouldn't do with someone, why don't you say, hey, wait a second, this is God's temple. And if I'm going to keep God's temple pure, am I going to get involved in those activities? Am I going to do those things? Am I going to be involved in those sins? No, I can't because this is God's. This is God's temple. Don't you know? It's God's. And that, if it's God's, I don't care if I feel it's okay to do. It's still God's temple. And I still got to keep it pure. I still got to keep it clean. Now get this, and we'll wrap this all up. It's God's temple, because the next verse says, you and I are bought with a price. You see, the whole concept of this falls upon this thought. For you bought with a price, and that price is what? The blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has redeemed you. That means he has bought you back from the slave market of sin. You were dead in the trespass of your sin. You and I were headed to the destination in the lake of fire. We were headed from complete separation from God. But he redeemed us. We were the slaves to sin, but he bought you from that slave market. He took you out of the pit and set your feet upon the rock. He saved you. He bought you with his blood. If you're saved, you're bought with a price. That's the price of the Lord Jesus Christ. But what's the next phrase says? For you bought with a price, therefore, what? Glorify. Therefore, glorify. Wait a second. The church was involved in impurities. He says, what are you doing? You're a member of Christ. Flee from it. Get away from it. Be reminded you're bought with a price. Remember that your body's a temple of the Holy Ghost, because your purpose is to glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're to glorify God. You're to please God with all that you have. Church, we need to wake up and realize the reason we have life this morning, the reason we have a body this morning, the reason we have a soul this morning, the reason we're living today is to glorify God with what he's given us. Because you're bought with a price. Don't feed the flesh. Feed the spirit. Get this. You and I are to glorify God. And if I'm to glorify God because I'm bought with a price, I cannot pollute myself and I cannot put the impurities in my life, because that's not going to glorify God. The next time you're going to try to get involved in something, ask this question: is that going to glorify God? Is that going to please God? The next time you want to give in to your flesh and do things you know you shouldn't do, say, would God be glorified because of it? The next time you're going to watch something that you know has filth in it, ask, is that going to glorify God? The next time you're going to speak a certain way, ask, is that going to glorify God? The next time you're going to do certain things, say, is this going to glorify God in my life? That ought to be the guiding principle behind everything we do. And Paul says this: you're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your Father, both in your body and your soul, which are, what does it say? Look at that last phrase. Which are what? Which are God's. Which are not your own. Which are God's. This is God's. It's not mine. So it's not about me. It's not about my pleasures. It's not about what I want. This is God's. And I got to use it for his glory, because it's not mine. Look this way. This is God's. 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 Everything is God's. I am a steward of what God has given me. I'm a steward of God. And I'm to take which is his, and through his power, use it to glorify him. And I cannot be the steward that I ought to be, which is God's body, which is God's, if I have impurity in my life. Because I can't serve God with impurity in my life. This is God's. I'm to use it to serve him. I must be pure before him so he can use it. Now, I am glad that when we fail, and let's be honest, everyone in this room has failed one time or another. I know I've been involved in things I probably should not have been. I've known I probably seen things I shouldn't have seen. I probably said things I should not have said. We've all been there. We've all done it. Okay? Every one of us in this room. So how can we become pure? We get ourselves on our knees before God and confess it for what it is. It is sin against the holy God. And I deal with it. And I say, Father, forgive me. I've sinned against you. Cleanse me. And give me the power, the strength I need to flee from the impurities. Because I want your temple to remain pure. And I want more than anything, to glorify you in all that I do. Heavenly Father, we love you.